If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, my guest speaker. And the topic we are working on from a couple of episodes ago onwards is the rules of, or some of the rules pertaining to impure substances based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, let me start with this question. You know,
we know that when sanitation trucks come into the streets from the city hall to collect the garbage from or away from the doors, sometimes you see, some kind of, water dropping from the garbage.
Sure.
What's the rule regarding this water? Is this water impure? Should we treat it as impure?
Although it is very, very dirty.
Yes.
Because it's dark and very dingy, very foul smelling.
Yes.
But unless you are certain that it is impure, you cannot consider it as impure. Because you have to be certain to consider it as pure. For example, if you see there, there is dog feces or excrement or maybe human stool there, and such things, and you can find such things in some countries where hygiene is very low and mm-hmm. people do not take care of hygiene so much. So it depends from one country to another country. In countries like Iran, I think there's no need to investigate whether that the water or the fluid that comes out of the truck or maybe drops fall down on the floor are pure or impure. It is to be treated as pure.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that there is a sewage system in place, and of course the thing which is essentially impure does not surface on the ground.
I see. Even if it's very much likely or most likely see some impure substances, for example, in the garbage of the people.
You don't have to pay attention to the doubt that you have. You have to give the benefit of the doubt mm-hmm. to yourself.
I see. Okay. There's another question. And what about the water that is present or gathers in the puddles and holes in the streets?
Yeah, this is a very good question, because I really wanted to answer, to give a short answer to your previous question. But thank God this is a question which I can actually explain. Of course, the situation differs from one country to another country, depending on, for example, on what country you are in and where you are, actually. You cannot give an absolute or a general answer to this question, because, for example, I have been to many countries where people, for example, there is no municipality and the government is actually unable to collect garbage from the street, and there is no gutter. People, you can see people defecating in the open space, and at the sides of the roads, I have seen many and on many occasions, people defecating at the side of the roads. So in such countries, of course, you are sure to some extent, to a large extent, that the water inside the gutters is definitely impure. And you have to consider it as impure. You should wash yourself, your clothes. But in countries like Iran and many other countries, neighboring countries, this is not the case. And the water collected on the street is pure, mm-hmm. definitely.
I see. Thank you very much, Javed. Let's take a short break. And we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah.
straight, 'cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program and share to with our guest speaker. We are still talking about the rules of impure substances based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei with Sheikh Javid. Sheikh Javid, you know, we all know that, especially in the, you know, world, particularly Muslim families, they exchange family visits.
Sure.
Or the visits to relatives, right?
Yes.
Well, and sometimes we find out that some people are not as careful when it comes to the rules of purity or impurity, right?
Yes.
Based on the Sharia laws. So when it comes to the matters of food, drink, and all of these, what's the rule concerning such families when we visit them?
You're right. Just as you said, there are some families who are carefree. They don't care about pure and impure things. Some even do not give importance to impure things.
Mm-hmm.
And they consume things which are, according to Islamic Sharia, impure. So, generally speaking, the ruling of the religion of Islam or the Sharia is that everything about whose najasa one is not certain should be considered as pure, because kullu shay'in laka tahir hatta ta'lama annahu najis. Everything for you is pure until and unless you are certain that it is impure.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a general maxim or a general principles which we should take into consideration when dealing with things that we do not know whether they are impure or with people. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it is a very good principle that we should follow, and it is for our comfort and for our ease. And the religion aims to facilitate life, to make things easy for us. So that's why it says, and the infallible imams have said, that everything is halal for you and everything is pure for you unless you are certain that it is haram or it is impure.
Mm-hmm, I see. Let me ask you a very quick question here, because we don't have much time, Sheikh Javid. You know, what is the rule applicable to something that comes into contact with some objects, one of which is najis?
Well, if it comes into contact with only some of them, it is not treated as najis, because there are things, as you said, some of them are pure and some others are impure.
Yes.
So if it comes into contact with only some of them,
mm-hmm,
then it's not to be considered and treated as impure, because it's very much likely that the thing might have come into contact with the things which are pure, not impure.
Yes.
And also coming into contact with impure things does not mean that the two things have become impure, unless those two things are wet, okay? Because just as I said, when two dry things come into contact with each other, one of them is pure, the other is impure, that pure object does not necessarily become impure in that case.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. And I'm very happy to have you in the studio. And thank you very much, my dear listeners, for listening to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, in which we try to cover some of the rules related to impure substances based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيط. لا إله إلا هو